give a kid who it makes us honor better, faster, stronger.
Gordon to the left, Little and Best to the right. In the backfield, Bobby Rainey. Here's Hoyer out of the shotgun. Plenty of time, going long. Gordon's wide open. Caught it, 10, 5, touchdown. Welcome back, Josh Gordon.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hoyer's got it. Right corner of the end zone. Jordan Cameron's got it. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
And it's a football Wednesday, and it's Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford. And it is an amazing, amazing sports week here in Northeast Ohio and in Cleveland. And in comes to the studio just right under the nick of time here to just get on the air with me. And he's sporting an Indians jersey, and it's a beautiful thing. The Tribe, of course, playing tonight. The Browns playing tomorrow night. You're fired up, my man.
It is the mecca of the sports world, Notorious. That's what Cleveland has become. It is the epicenter of all things good in the sporting world right now. And so I'm going to soak it in. I'm excited. You got people. You have your posse, the Notorious Posse, coming in from Buffalo. This is a big week right here.
It really is. It's getting bigger by the day. And I'm so glad. It feels so much better after back-to-back wins. That's changed the whole tenor of this week.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been saying, yeah, it's nice. It's, you know, it's Thursday night football. But here we sit with a primetime game tomorrow night, and about maybe 50 feet from us in another conference room, because everything's glass here. We're in this glass cage of emotion throughout this place.
stole a little
Anchorman thing here. And I'm
fantastic.
Looking across, and I see Mike
Baxter.
Mike Mayock and Alex Flanagan from the NFL Network broadcast, and Brad Nessler, they're all sitting within range of us. They're sitting now, I think, with Brian Hoyer, so they're doing a little debriefing with him. It's called the production meeting, and they've been meeting with several Browns players and coaches throughout this morning. So it's so cool, the invasion of NFL Network. It's just the bigness of this thing.
It is big, and it's awesome. I'm fired up. I'm giddy. I feel like, you know, it's like, you know, a young kid on the eve of Christmas or on the eve of Hanukkah, you're giddier than usual. I am. I'm fired up. I'm excited right now. I was so excited. I lost track of time. I didn't even get time to get lunch today, and I don't even need it. I'm running on the fuel of excitement.
You're just riding that wave.
I am riding that wave.
Yeah, well, we should.
Listen, and hopefully Friday is either going to be a super awesome day, or Friday is going to be, it could be Suicide Watch Friday.
And it starts,
I think it's not going to be.
And
it
starts tonight, man.
That's right.
It starts
tonight.
Let's go. Because really, what's good for the Tribe is good for the Browns, is my thinking. I've always felt that, and it's always been a source of disappointment to see both teams, or all teams. You know, let's throw the Cavaliers in the conversation, too. They're just getting their stuff going for this year. They're ready to come in. That you want them, they feed off of each other. And I saw this just in a small taste of it in those years I spent in Buffalo when the Sabres had a really great run and they were, you know, a Stanley Cup team and so forth. That when they were doing their thing, it was exciting for the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills players supported them. Just like here, the Browns players, I know, support the Indians and vice versa. We got a really nice story about that, by the way, by Matt Florjancic on ClevelandBrowns.com, just about this chemistry between the two clubs and the energy that they feed off of each other. So go Tribe tonight, big time. Go Browns, obviously, tomorrow night. And we're going to set you up and talk with you about that extensively with conversations with, we're hoping to get Mike Mayock, who is, again, in the middle of these production meetings. So hopefully we're going to get him over into our studio in a short time from now, once he finishes up with those, to get more of that national perspective. But Mark Gaughan, who covers the Bills for the Buffalo News, is going to be on the line with us. We'll also have our conversation, of course, regularly on the show with Gerard Cherry. And again, setting you up and talking with you about this game. And the more we get into the enormity, if that's the right word, the national primetime thing, the more I'm inclined to say that the Browns are better equipped to handle this probably than the Bills are. And it starts with the fact that the Bills have a young quarterback, have a rookie quarterback in E.J. Manuel. And even though he has stepped up nicely so far for a rookie, and he was parts of some very big big-time games at Florida State as a college player, this stage is going to be very different for him.
It's going to be very different for him. And listen, he had a tough time, I would say, with the New York Jets on the road in that game. This is his only second road game. It's amazing the way that the schedule worked out for the Buffalo Bills, but they got the Patriots, they've gotten Carolina and Baltimore. Now they go on the road to take on the Cleveland Browns. And I think that he could struggle in this game. And I think that the Browns' defense has played so well. I know it's a big moment, but you're right. This is the first time that he's been in that prime time location, the prime time game. And it was interesting because one of the comments that I thought found so interesting after the Monday Night Football game was Steve Young talked about how the Miami Dolphins, a team that hadn't really been at that position before 3-0, a lot of new pieces there, new faces, a young team. And he said you could tell that they were bright-eyed playing on Monday Night Football in the Superdome against the New Orleans Saints. And they came out slow, and the Saints jumped on them, and they never were able to get back into that game. So I think you could see a similar situation here with E.J. Manuel, the Buffalo Bills. C.J. Spiller was unable to practice yesterday, and I know that he hasn't had the best year thus far, but still, he is a dynamic and electric playmaker. Fred Jackson, who has been their best running back through three or four games, is coming in with a sprained MCL. He's banged up, too. So they are with their weapons. Steve Johnson is a little bit banged up, and he had one catch for negative 1 yard last week. Jarius Bird practiced fully for the first time. McKelvin is not likely to play. Stephon Gilmore is not going to play. This is a banged up team that is being caught at the right time with, I think, inexperience at the key positions going on the road Thursday Night Football. I like this, and I like the way it's setting up for the Browns.
And when I bring up E.J. Manuel and the spotlight and what might be uncomfortable for him, now you could jump to, well, wait a minute. Brian Hoyer, as a quarterback for the Browns, what spotlight is he used to, making only a fourth career start and only his third now with the Browns, and certainly not doing anything on a stage as grand as tomorrow night's is. However, I argue that Hoyer's experience with the Patriots and being around that team that has been in the spotlight and seeing how that's been handled by Tom Brady, among the many other things I think he's learned as a Brady backup for those 3 years he spent there, I think he absorbed a lot there. I think he took in how the team as a whole, from coaches to players, everybody, how it was handled. And I also think that 5 years of being just around the game is a seasoning thing. There's something about that. By the way, it's the ideal formula that never gets used anymore for any quarterback. If you could get a quarterback and say park him for somewhere between 3 to 5 years as he learns how to be a pro and then put him out there, he might do what Brian Hoyer's done, and that's have 2 wins in his first 2 starts. So I think the guy comes into this with obviously more than just what the actual record says of numbers of starts, the few starts that he's had.
I totally agree, but think about this too. What more pressure is there than knowing that when you went out there in your first start, you were literally playing for the opportunity to start again? E.J. Manuel could have a bad game. He's starting in week number 5. If Brian Hoyer went into Minnesota and stunk out the joint, maybe he doesn't start again. If he stunk it up against the Cincinnati Bengals in his first home game, maybe he doesn't start again, and his dream of being a starting quarterback in the NFL could be temporarily or permanently derailed. So I think Brian Hoyer has played with more pressure on him and with more of a spotlight on him, regardless of the fact that it was a national television game, than E.J. Manuel is going to have to deal with, because E.J. Manuel knows that the rest of this season is guaranteed. He's the starter as long as he's healthy, and for the next few years, that's the investment that's been made in him. So I think Brian Hoyer knows a whole lot about pressure, and I don't think this is going to phase him one bit being on the national stage here in week number 5.
That's such a great point. I mean, it was to play to get another start, and it was really carrying the weight of what was on this team's collective shoulders after that horrendous week, or the week that was not necessarily horrendous for the Browns, but it was for the Browns because of all the backlash, all the post-Trent Richardson fallout. And I think that stuff made it...
I don't even remember that.
Right, but it made it such a heavy weight that the team carried with it to Minnesota, and most of that fell on the shoulders of this quarterback. And I think, again, he responded brilliantly. But, you know, I've been talking with people in Buffalo, and here's the thing. Here's their take on this game. They're saying, first of all, Cleveland's electric right now. Okay, so they got the play-in game tonight with the Tribe.
Yep.
They got the Browns winning back-to-back games, and he said, and they're honoring Jim Brown. He said they're going to honor the greatest player in NFL history the night that the Bills come to town. Do you think that place will be fired up?
I think so. I think it's going to be loud. I think it's going to make it difficult for EJ Manuel on critical third downs. I think the stadium's going to be rocking. The city's going to be rocking. It's big time. This is big time for the city of Cleveland. I think these fans in Cleveland have waited a long time for a moment like this, because you're getting the Tribe in the playoffs. You get the first, you know, primetime game for the Browns, riding a two-game winning streak. It's all set up to be very, very good for Cleveland. And then, and more importantly to me, even than the emotion and the extraneous details, the matchup on paper lines up extremely well for this Browns team.
It does. I think it does. And I always want to bring in that sense of perspective and caution, because you hit it. I mean, there are a lot of injury weaknesses that seem to play into the strengths of the Browns team, and especially when you talk about that Bills secondary and you think about Josh Gordon, you think about Jordan Cameron, you think about what they're able to do, how they're able to execute. But you also look at this running game, and to know that the health of both of those players, C.J. Spiller especially, but Fred Jackson as well, that they're not up to complete snuff. And you're going against a Browns run defense that has been just lights out, that's just been amazing for four games.
Yep.
And I thought this would, you know, again, fall into that heading of yet another real difficult test. But, I mean, once you've played Adrian Peterson and you've held him to 3-5, that's not to say that you can sleep on the rest of your opponents, but nothing can feel like what else could feel like a bigger challenge than that?
The Cleveland Browns are allowing 2.7 yards per carry to opposing running backs
year,
fewest in the NFL. They're giving up 62 yards per game to running backs this season, second fewest in the NFL. And they've faced Lamar Miller, who, by the way, has looked pretty good against everybody else this year, averaging 5.8 yards per carry in the three games since facing the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
They faced Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce. They faced Adrian Peterson. And last week they faced Giovanni Bernard, who was averaging over 5 yards per carry and held him to 3.7. So they've shut down everybody that they have faced on the ground. The passing defense has gotten better every single week and will continue to do so. I think that this Browns team right now is looking so, so good defensively. They haven't allowed a passing touchdown in two straight games.
Right.
They've only allowed one rushing touchdown to a runner, obviously two of them to Christian Ponder in the Vikings game. But right now, no team is playing better defense in the league. 4.2 yards per play, the number one figure in the entire National Football League than the Browns. It's a quick turnaround. These Thursday night games aren't great, and they're going to be able to take away what the Bills want to do most, which is run the football. That puts a lot of pressure on EJ Manuel. Remember, the Jets did the same thing, took away the run against the Bills.
Right.
Manuel struggled in that game, and that was a game where the Jets, I think, had 20 penalties that really allowed the Bills to even stay on the field. Without all those penalties, they're not even on the field, and that's a complete blowout.
Right. The only reason that became a game was because of the Jets' self-destruction.
And they still won.
And that was on the road, and the Jets still managed to win that game, which probably said it said more about the Bills than the Jets' ability to overcome with shaky quarterbacking from Geno Smith as well. So you we're right about that. I think as you break this thing down, there are more reasons to like the Browns' chances in this game, maybe as much as any game they've played so far.
They are the favorite, and they are the favorites.
Yeah,
they should win this game.
They absolutely should win this game.
Yes.
They should have won probably at least one of the other games that they played that they lost earlier this year. And
Miami's
I'm going to say that Miami's a tough team. I think they should have won that.
With Josh Gordon, they win that game.
How tough did Miami look the other night to you, buddy?
You play the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome on Monday Night Football. That's a pretty good team.
Right, but
that's a good team. The New Orleans Saints are
It's a really good
right
team. They're a good team in the dome, but I think Miami got exposed a little bit.
I think Drew Brees will expose a lot of people.
Yeah. The Browns weren't playing well in that game and were still leading
at
halftime. And they weren't playing well.
They could have won that game.
They win that game with the team that's played the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's like I said, if Josh Gordon is there, they win that game. I fully believe that.
Okay, but I think they could have won it without him in that game.
They could have. Yeah, they were ahead at halftime with three interceptions in the
first
half.
That's the kinds of conversations that I think, if you listen to Joe Hayden, he said, I think we should have won those first two, as he's breaking it down.
Ahead at halftime in both of them.
The Baltimore game was another one that was served up, and then they spit it out.
Baltimore is not good.
Part of what you do as a team, besides play well and perform well and have good talent and good players, a big part of what you do is have enough maturity, enough understanding of what it takes to keep a lead and finish you know, finish the job and close out, close the sale. And that's part of the growth of a football team.
Yes.
And that's where the Browns have to go next.
And this is the first game in the season where the Browns, I think, were without question the favorite in everybody's mind.
Yes.
Week one,
yes.
It was still a 50-50 proposition. Week two, agreed, at Baltimore, they were expected to lose that,
yep,
game. Week three, they're going on the road with all the turmoil. It's still on the road in Minnesota. Maybe a 50-50.
We thought they would win.
Week four at home against Cincinnati, they were underdogs.
This is
the first time that the pressure is now on them to win and not necessarily shock the world. Because given the turmoil that happened when they went to Minnesota, nobody was expecting them to win following the trade of Trent Richardson, following all the turmoil, new quarterback Brian Hoyer. That was not an expected win. This is one that is expected. And for this Browns team to get where they want to get and where the fans want them to get and where you and I, Notorious, where we want them to be, this is a game that they have to go and take care of business and win the game they should win.
It will make such a statement to the country, to the whole football world, when you occupy the stage, you know, when it's just you and one other team and the entire rest of the National Football League is looking in and they're watching this. 30 teams are watching you and fan bases throughout the country are watching you. You have a chance now to really elevate the conversation. The Browns are on the radar. They haven't been on that radar in a long time, the radar of relevance.
That's right.
And tomorrow night is a chance to put a stamp on that and to now create on the national conversation of football. It's a chance for the Browns to, again, become more relevant and for people to start recognizing something is going on here. And all the, you know, all the talk of change, all the talk of new ideas, all the talk of future sustainable success, all of that's going to gain traction because now you have credibility as,
right,
an organization. This is where you get your credibility stamp. Nothing does it like playing well and performing well on a primetime stage. Nothing does it. I mean, you can do it on a Sunday and do it in multiple games and it's recognized, but tomorrow night, there's so much riding on that.
Every sports center, every sports program, yeah, Thursday night, Friday morning will lead off with the results of this game.
Yeah. So let's see what the result is. I'm with you. It should be a Browns win and, frankly, a big Browns win.
I agree. I think that this, you know, we talk about the path to victory. In week number one, we had a path, you know, somewhat narrow. Week two, it was a little bit narrower. Week three, there was a little bit of a roadblock, but we thought they'd win. Week four was a narrow path that got a little bit wider as the week went on. This is a 5-lane freeway. That's the kind of path the Browns have to victory here,
yeah,
and they just need to drive that car right into victory lane.
It's the Jetsons. They're not even on a freeway.
They're just flying. Let's go. Let's
right.
go. But I think that's good. But what makes me happy is that you and I can feel this way and we can feel this,
yeah,
confident. And I know the players do feel confident. But it has been all business in this building. They are focused on this game. They are not,
sure,
saying, oh, we just need to show up and put the orange helmets on and we're going to beat the Buffalo Bills. Because I think it was great to see the Ravens do exactly that last week. Turn the ball over 5 times and lose to this team. I think that helped the Browns see that, listen, nobody in this league can just show up and beat somebody else. Let's take care of business at home.
Yeah, the Browns are definitely not at that stage of showing up for anything. You show up, you better show up to play and play your best. All right, we're just getting this thing rolling here today. It is a football Wednesday.
There it is.
The little theme from the Jetsons to go with my reference, our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, coming up with that. Spacely Sprockets, right?
Isn't that what it was?
Yeah.
Cogsworth Cogs. That's right.
You're in an Indians jersey. This is a beautiful thing. You're sitting here in an Indians jersey.
You're getting fired up.
A lot of people are staring at you, by the way, in this glass case of emotion, too.
That's all right. Tomorrow I'll be right back to the Browns.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
That's right. We're going to treat the Buffalo Bills like Jack Black treated Baxter.
That's a glass case of emotion.
Got much more coming up on CBD. It's Vic Carucci. It's Nathan Zagura. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.